Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
For those of you who are joining us in this series, it's the church that Jesus is building, and we've been talking about prayer, and so we're going to get back into the subject of prayer a little bit deeper today, and I can't guarantee you all finish that today, but we'll just kind of continue on our journey. The responding verses of what you'll be reading are on the screen behind me. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me, for my adversary." Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Verse 8 together. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you in the most powerful name there has ever been uttered by the lips of man. The name of Jesus, there's power in that name, there's authority in that name. And so when we pray in that name, we can not only expect, but we anticipate things will happen. Holy Spirit, reveal to us, open up to our hearts to not only the concept of prayer, but the reality of prayer as prayer changes things. It changes conditions. And Lord, we pray today that we would learn all, more things about you and how you want to really respond to the things that we would request of you. Holy Spirit, be our guide and our director through the rest of this service, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. Let me just say these few words to you. I just kind of jot out a note to you. In light of the tragedy that seems to be bombarding us on all types of fronts, it would be easy to conclude that prayer is an exercise of futility, often overridden by the forces of evil. The cultural and racial clashes between law enforcement and death tolls mounting on both sides of the spectrum could easily cause us to lose heart. In spite of what some might think, God is not sitting idly on the sidelines, refusing to get involved, but rather is dispatching the faith community to engage in prayer and discover his divine intervention. That's not a reason for us to say, oh, what are we going to do? And we'll have marches and this type of thing. I'm not against people that march and protest. Because if you haven't been there, you better shut up. If you haven't had it happen in your neighborhood or someone die as a result of what seems to be unjust, don't get too quick to judge. But the least we can do is pray. That's the least we can do. And so God is trying to tell us some things. So I wrote down some things I think it will be important for us. First of all, do you know that God does answer every prayer of the righteous? Because the Word of God says, a prayer of the righteous availeth much. That word availeth will get you. What does avail mean? It means it counts. The story that we have here, actually, it's a parable. But can prayer move the hand of God? Can prayer change situations that seem like they're just going one direction? I believe that prayer changes. Amen. Righteous folks can get involved with God, and God, it moves the very hand of God. But what about this? Do you know that unanswered prayer is often caused by us accepting a false identity of who we are in God's kingdom? I'm going to tell you who you are before this is done. But I will tell you this one. I put a little side note on my notes today. It says, what you are going through or what you have gone through because of it is not your identity. Some of you, your identity is based on what you have gone through or what you're going through. So right now, I'm a loser. I'm not this. I'm not that. Because we're basing it on what our emotional and natural experience is right now. I know I'm telling the truth. But I want to tell you, God's got a different report. It doesn't matter what the devil said. It doesn't matter what the devil did. God can take care of it. And I believe you can invoke the presence of God when you pray. All of a sudden, the devil gets nervous. And we go, today I want to give him a heart attack. Let me get to number three. I'll get back to that in a minute. Did you know that God desires to have a relationship with you that surpasses the things that you ask of him? God is not Santa Claus. He's not the tooth fairy. He's not any other mythical person that you've allowed to be a part of your life. He is your heavenly Father. He is God all by himself. He is an intercessor for those who need intercession. He's everything you've ever needed. But it's out of relationship, not out of gimme. Now, come on, if you're a parent, you know when your kids are buttering you up. When you come home, the room is clean, something's up. When you come home and their report card is on the table, something is up. They're expecting something on the basis of their behavior or what they have done, and they want to be rewarded. Don't get like that with God. God is good. He's worthy of praise no matter what is going on in our life. We must learn to push in prayer. We talked about this last. Pray until something happens. That doesn't mean like anything can happen. Anybody remember the Mickey Mouse Club? Today is a day that's filled with surprises. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Remember, that was anything can happen day. For those of you who know the whole tune. You can be like an elephant on the moon, all kinds of, you know. Anything can happen day. How do I remember all this crazy stuff? But we're not talking about just something. We're praying until that what God's will in heaven happens on earth. That's what we're praying for, that heaven comes down and begins to occupy our circumstance and our situation and changes everything. But when we come before God, we must pray, we must empty ourselves. You know, God can't do what he needs to do because you're too full of you. Get some of the junk out of the closet, you know, and God can really do some things in your life. So that means that we must not assume that anything, or must not assume anything, but acknowledge that we are in the presence of an almighty sovereign God. Get everything out of the way. Preconceived notions of what God needs to do. Well, what about this? We're coming before our Father who loves us. And for some of you, that's hard to comprehend, especially if you've had struggles or difficulties with your father, with your natural father on this earth. And I have one people I've given little bits of my testimony here and there throughout the 40 years I've been in ministry in this church. But it was a tough time. But you know what? When Jesus came into my life, I got a new father. I really did. Now, my physical father was here, and he didn't accept God until 2 years before he left this planet. And after that, he got Alzheimer's, so we never connected. But the point I wanted to say to you is that your heavenly Father knows everything about you, and he loves you. What about this? We must want his will more than we want our own. Oh, boy. Well. The name and power that is in the name of Jesus is the authority by which we make our requests known. It's not because of anyone, but it's because of Jesus. This parable that Jesus leaves here, to many people it could be confusing because it almost seems like, you know, if you worry God long enough, you'll get what you want. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is persevere to get you to the particular place that you really know that you know what you desire of God. Some of you are just trying to escape pain. Sometimes pain is the best thing you'll have in your life. It'll keep you from going crazy. Pain sometimes will stop you from doing something that will take you off this planet. But our trust is in the name of Jesus. Our hope is in the name of Jesus. Our confidence is in the name of Jesus. We must operate with a full awareness of God's time and timing. That means this: God will never withhold something from us to bring us further pain. He won't do that. He really doesn't. Unfortunately, man is not that way. We find ourselves in toxic relationships whereas people learn how to manipulate us. In order to just kind of keep it just a little, just kind of dangle out in front of us to get us to, it's a control thing. God doesn't do that. But he teaches us how to trust him. In the midst of sometimes when it's silent and we haven't heard anything in a while. But what about this? God is a present help in time of need. In other words, he is present. You know why? He said these words, "I will never, ever leave you." If you feel alone, I want to tell you this much. It's a feeling. It's not a truling. It's a feeling. Oftentimes, our experience is based upon what we think our security is in. And sometimes, some people, I remember when I was a kid, we used to have this, I didn't want to sleep without the light being on. The light was in the hallway. And I get my door cracked just a little bit, so I'd make sure the light was on, and I'm perfectly fine. One night, the light went out. It was like the end of the world. Now, mind you, the light was a 15-watt bulb. Daddy was cheap. He wouldn't give you no more than 15 anyway. But that 15-watt bulb contained all the security I had in life. And I moaned, and I said, "It was the light went out, the light went out. Go back to bed. The light went out, the light is out. I can't go to sleep. The light is out." Never thought about the fact that when I close my eyes, it don't make no difference. Do you see how stupid we are? We want the light on. Our eyes are going to be closed. What difference does it make? See, we ask things from God that it doesn't make any sense. You don't need a light to be on. You need to be comfortable in the presence of God. He said, "I got this, okay?" Well, we can cast every care upon him because he cares for us. We know that. But when we push in prayer, we must. And I have 10 things. I think I'll get through all of those because there's one other thing I need to add to this message. First thing is that we need to do is cleanse our hearts of anything that will hinder our communication with Jesus. That's number one. It's kind of ridiculous. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. We'll review that one again. But the first thing is you need to come before God. And when you come before God with a guilty conscience, what do you expect? "I know I'm guilty. I know I've been mad, bad to everybody today. But God, I got a few requests from you." Really? "I know I hate my neighbor. I had a fight with my wife. And my kids get on my nerves and stuff. But could you do me a favor?" Would you do a favor for somebody like that? I know the answer already. The answer is no. You don't even entertain it. You say, "Why are we having this conversation?" But what, here's the very cleansing part about it is cleansing our hearts is something that we've got to do. Nobody else can do it for us because you know what you need to deal with. David was a very wise man after he committed. If you never need to know what this looks like, Psalm 51 talks about this is David when he figured out that God knew all the time what a sinner he was. And he said to the Lord, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. And of all things, Lord, don't ever take your Holy Spirit from me." The best ally that God has given every believer is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, if you allow him to, he will point out to you the problems. He will never condemn you. But he says, before you make this request, you might want to straighten that up. That's when you're open to the Spirit of God. That's number one. Number two, acknowledge and thank him for what he's already done. That's a good praise hallelujah right there. Some of us come before God like he ain't done nothing. It's his first day on the job and he's got to prove himself to you. Really? Before time began, God thought of you, knew what the situation you're going through right now. And so we got to come and we got to be able to be thankful. With prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to the Lord. Not with the fact that, with prayer and please give me. Thank him. The same God that provided and brought you to this day is the same God who's going to intervene in your situation. You know, one of the things I'm hoping to be even more so is more affirming and positive and thankful. And the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Not only do we bless the Lord, but you know something? One of the ways that you get grab the heart of God is you learn how to bless other people. And I'm not talking just about with money. I'm talking about blessing them with a good attitude. And really meaning it. You know, I was just thinking about you today. I just want to call you up and just bless you and hope you're having a wonderful day. And you just do it because it's the right thing to do. It's the overflow of what God has already done in your life. Folks, when you do more of that, I'll tell you what, you'll be more prone to be receiving answers from God because you'll have the heart of God. You'll have the mind of God. You'll have the Spirit of God operating in you on a regular basis. I'm going to teach you how to get in. That's how we get into an attitude of prayer. Well, number three, desire that his will is done, will in heaven is done on earth. That's a big one. Because in the presence of God, it's pretty amazing. And if his will is being done in heaven, and we desire that to be done on earth, we have a tendency to think about all the reasons why it can't be done. All the corruption and all the violence and all the inequities and those type of things. It's almost like it's a prayer of futility. I don't think that way. Nor do I believe that way. Because heaven is in you. So when I show up, all that God is in me. And when I show up, it changes the atmosphere of the situation. Somebody needs to believe that. You may have devils all around you. You may have people filled with all kinds of spirit. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit shows up, it makes a difference. It changes the atmosphere. And what I'm telling you to do is when you show up and you're full of the Spirit of God, something's got to change. The devil's got to back up and say, oh, wait a minute. There he is again. Here she comes now with her positive confessing self, always just blessing folks and just ruining everything. I'm here to curse everybody and she's blessing everybody in the room. I want to show you how it happens. Folks, if you want to see some things, change your attitude. Change how you look at folks. Some of you Christians are mean. Sucking on lemons and everything else. Change the way you look. Change the way you walk. Come on. Somebody gonna get free today. I don't know. Number four. I know you're struggling. You'll make it through. Come on. Take a deep breath. Thank you. Glory. Submit yourselves to the Holy Spirit to be changed in the presence of God. Because see, some of the things I was saying a few moments ago, you're saying, I can never be that way. I've always kind of been kind of negative and just whatever. Not when the Holy Spirit has control. You can't afford to stay like this. It's ruining everything that God has desired for you to be. Let me move on to number five. This is going to be a toughie. Release any expectation of the flesh and come in alignment with the will of the Spirit to make all things subject to Christ. That is a profound statement that the Holy Spirit dropped into my spirit just a few days ago. Release any expectation of the flesh. Some of you have got it all figured out the way you want it to be. And matter of fact, you would give God an outline. How to do it, who to do it with, what time to do it, time frame, this type of thing. And I like, have this done by Friday. Thank you very much. See you later. Not my will, but your will be done. The Bible says we bring our request before the Lord. Somebody says, oh, you need to demand God this stuff. Somebody told me that the other, you need to demand God. Good luck with that. I'll circle back to this later on. Somebody's got to marinate on that for a moment. Okay. Number six, remember that it is a two-way conversation. Let the Lord speak to us before we end our prayer. Some of you have snack prayers. Or you have a brill cream prayer. Little dab will do you. Little prayer. Call someone up on the phone, blah, 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 blah. Thank you very much. Hang up the phone. And they have said nothing. It's a conversation. Now, mind you, God doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be as elongated as sometimes it takes us forever to get to the point. But at least have the courtesy to wait for a response. And the response may be just as simple as God saying, you know, not today. Or wait until such and such. Or I'm working something out in you. But God will talk to you. The question is, are you willing to listen? I want to challenge you in this. The next time you pray, which is tonight, this afternoon, tomorrow morning, whatever your prayer rotation happens to be, I dare you to just take just 1 minute. I won't say take 5 minutes because that ain't never going to work. We'll start with one. We'll work up to 10 eventually. But just sit there in the presence of God, and I guarantee you he will talk to you. Can I get your buy-in on that? Yes. Everybody buy in on that? Say amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. Number seven, we must be genuine in our desire for our Lord's will to be done and not ours. Well, okay, God, fine. If that's what you want to do, fine. Fine, fine, fine. I can deal with it. I can handle it. It doesn't matter. I'm okay with it. Really? I got a word for you. That's stupid. I want to tell you, and the reason why I say it's stupid, there was a time when Jesus laid hands on a blind man. And the blind man could have lied and not totally been healed. He laid hands on him, and after he'd washed and this type of thing, he says, how's your seeing? How's your sight? And you know why he did that? He wanted him to be honest. And so he says to Jesus, he says, I see men as trees. And so Jesus lays hands on him again, and he sees men as men. Here's the problem. Many times we don't get what we want, but as long as we get something, we're okay. Really? Do you want to go around seeing men as trees or see men as men? You've got to be honest with God. See, God wants an honest people, not you said, well, it's better than it was. That's why you marry anybody with pants on. Better than being alone. She may not be what I want, but you know, I just don't like being by myself. That's about the dumbest thing you'll ever say. You wish you were alone. Nobody wants to go home to an empty house. I'll tell you what, you get the wrong one, they'll empty your house for you. I know I started meddling, I'm going to leave it alone. But some of y'all get my drift. Oh, yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Glory. Bless his name. Number 8. We can be assured of the answer from the Lord has been originated in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is a framework, that is the outline, that is a prerequisite for the things that we want on this earth. If it isn't like that in heaven, you don't want it down here. Because in heaven there's peace, there's joy, there's unity, everything you want, every fruit of the Spirit that is named is existing right now in heaven. Love, joy, peace, you know, gentleness, meekness, all those things. They're all there. Is that what you want? Or you say, well, I know there's a little bit of confusion, but I can deal with that. Really? Number 9. God will often wait until the last minute to build our faith and trust and not our frustration and fear. I had to put that in here because many times we walk that experience. I'm not going to play with this thing. Because some of you are in that last minute faith right now. You don't know what God's going to do, but you see the deadline of something coming forth. The Lord says, I need you to explain to them for me why this happens. And so, as you read this again, it says, he will do it to build our faith and trust, not your frustration and fear. It's a faith building thing. It's a trust building thing. Moses and the children of Israel, they had been miraculously delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, and they're on their way headed to the promised land. The only problem is they came to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was between them and the promised land. And I can see here the mumbling back says, what is Moses going to do now? We are headed toward the Red Sea. He's talking about we're delivered. We're going to all drown the Red Sea. There's some people out in the crowd. But Jesus, or God says to him, he says, don't worry about it. Just keep moving. See, some of you are so focused on what you think is ahead of you that you're not going to be able to get through that you'll stop where you are and try to figure it out. I tell you, keep moving. Don't stop short of where God is taking you. Don't listen to the rumbling behind you and all the noise. Those people, how do we go? Do we go? We all go down the Red Sea. And we're better off making more bricks and making bricks and this type of thing and being slaves to the devil. It was much better than being out here just going drown in the sea. I never did like water. Let me tell you something. I don't believe Moses knew what he was going to do till he got to the edge. And I'm going to tell you, when all of a sudden a message came from God says, stretch out your rod. I want to tell you today, God's going to say to some of you, stretch out your rod and watch me work it out. Some of you are on the bridge of something right now, and the rod of the Spirit is going to be stretched out, and you're going to watch the waters part. And you're going to go through on dry land. And those people that have been after you are going to be destroyed right behind you. I can guarantee you, when Moses got to the Red Sea, he says, Lord, what do I do now? That's one of those 911 prayers. And God answered instantaneously. He says, all you got to do is do what I tell you to, just stretch out your hand. You don't have time to build a bridge. You don't have time to get boats for everybody, okay? One other situation. You know, Joshua had the people at one time, and they had to cross a river called the Jordan. And the Jordan's separating them, and they got this particular issue. How do we get across? It's the highest season, it's flooding, they can't get across a particular thing. You know what he had to do? He says, put your foot in the water and watch me handle it. That what you're afraid of, just stick your foot in it and let God take care of it. God wants you, some of you get boasted. I don't know, this is between me and my miracle, and I'm about ready to take a little walk out there. I'm going to stick my foot in it. Immediately as he did that, there comes a provision. Prayer will change you. Last thing I say, never lose hope as you seek God's will and not your own. One other little principle I can throw at you for the next few moments is finding favor through perseverance. Luke 18:5. Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. Let me break that down a little bit. Answer prayers are those that contain six key elements. I spelled out prayer. Prayer is pause, reflection, acknowledgement, yielding, engaging, and rejoicing. That's what prayer is. He said, where'd you get that from? Jesus. I sit in my office. He said, pick up your pen and write. So this, I believe, is fresh bread for us, because the first thing is we must first pause. What do you mean by pause? We take the time to assess and realize who we are approaching. God. You know, also you have to do the other side of it and pause. Is what are you asking God for? Is how did you get into the situation where you are right now? See, we want God to fix things, and we don't want to acknowledge how we got into that mess in the first place. Amen. You better pause and figure it out. Says, you know, it's just one of those things that happened. No, it didn't happen. You sinned and you got there. Or somebody else put it on you. But do not play games with God. And if you need to repent at that particular moment, as you pause, then repent. But don't pretend like you don't know what's going on. I don't know what happened. Yes, you do. Two kids in the house. All right, so there's a kid in the house and a dog, right? Who broke the lamp, the kid or the dog? Dog can't talk. Buster did it. You're lying stuff. You better pause for a moment. We must realize we're in a conversation with the one who has all power and the ability to do anything, and we must also embrace total confidence in Jesus and the words that he has promised us. But we must be willing to ask the Lord to purify our motives by virtue of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 16:2. This is one I think you need to memorize. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirits. I ain't done nothing wrong. I don't know why people are always persecuting me. I was just minding my own business, and this is what happened to me. I'm a victim. No, you're not. We must know why we really want what we want. Oh, it's to bring you glory, Lord. No, it's not. No, it's not. And you know something? It's okay if you're honest with God. Say, God, and listen to me carefully. I want a new car because I don't like my old one. You say, you shouldn't tell God that. He already knows it. Clue time. I want to buy a new car because I just want to bring glory to God. See, tell people, no, come on. You want a new car because you like the one you saw on the showroom floor, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you come to God like, well, you know, God, this is all for your glory, and I just want people to be just... You're a lying wonder. That's what you are. Oh, well. Anyway, we must pray to God to be glorified through the final outcome. Now, that's the part where our heart gets pure, and it really God is blessed through this. Thirdly, we must embrace whatever pain may be in the process. I don't think anybody in this room, unless they have issues, would say, God, I just want, just bring on the pain. Just dish it out, God. Whatever level of pain you want to give me, bring it on. You're stupid. But in the process of pain, you'll learn something. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and also even the pain that he went through. But it was all for to bring glory to God. There's just a couple other little things, and we'll be pretty much able to finish this off. We must take time to reflect upon the things that have gone on in our lives. That means we must be thankful for the things God's already done. We talked about that. We must take responsibility and ownership for the things which we have done out of disobedience. Again, we must take responsibility for gambling and squandering of the grace God has given us that we spent on our own fleshly desires. I'm going to skip down to part D because this is one I've been waiting to get to. Glory. Thank you. Sin is always a gamble we take, and I have this in parentheses so I don't use the word crap. But anyway, at the crap table of chance that things might work out in our favor. Some of you are Vegas Christians. Now, I need to tell you this much, to your defense. Well, it's not really to your defense. I did a little research on this. I've never been to Vegas at this point. I don't plan to go necessarily. But one thing I do know, that if there's one table that you have more of an opportunity to make of having success, it's the crap table. You say, what? You have a the house has an advantage of 1.6%. You say, what? And I figured out all the logistics. I mean, I had to read up on this because, folks, I didn't know nothing about it. But the deal of it is that many of us kind of approach that with the idea that our sin, the sins that we're in, it's a gamble. Whether it's drugs, whether it's, you know, other type of promiscuity, the number one gamble is we're not going to get caught. Or it's not going to cost us something. Sin is always a gamble, or nobody's going to find out. That's the big one. I can afford to do this because nobody will ever know. Nobody will tell anyone. And we'll just go, 100 miles out of town and have our little rendezvous. And somebody at the desk clerk, didn't I see you at New Song? Oh, honey, you think you are so cool and so slick? And I said, didn't I see you at so-and-so? Didn't I see you at that worship conference last week? Sin is always, always a gamble. For those of you who like to go out and get high, you think every time you get high, you're going to come back to where you were before. I want to let you know, someday you may not land the plane. Or someday you may get so high, somebody will beat the snow out of you, and that'll be the end of it. Take everything you got and drive you off a cliff somewhere. Sin is always, always, always a gamble, but you don't think about it when you're getting into it. You just go ahead and do it, and the devil says, I got him again. And if nothing happens, you'll do it again and again and again. But one day, the crop is not going to be in your favor. You're going to throw the dice, and it'll come up 7 when it shouldn't come up 7, and the game is over. Everything you put on the table now belongs to the house. Woo! I know I'm preaching right now because some of you need to stop. Get away from the table and come to Jesus. Because you're just one throw away from tragedy. And it's nobody's fault but yours. The dice are in your hands. Whew. Oh, I felt that. Glory. Prayer will give us the resolve to wait on God's provision. Job says, all the days of my appointed time, I'm going to wait till my change comes. Now, Job took it from all of his Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar. They come and say, Job, we know why you're having all these problems. Because you did this, 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 and this, and he was falsely accused. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and at that day he's going to come and take care of this, what I'm going through for now. But I know that God is still alive, and regardless of what's going on in my life, I will not lay charges on him. I want to tell somebody this today, no matter what you're going through, you need to know your Redeemer lives. And he's going to bring you through it. Yes, he will. And in prayer, we will cause us to remember the faithfulness of God in things that we've trusted him before. And prayer will bring to mind the privilege that we have in resting on his promises. I'm going to just get to the A part, and then we'll quit today. When we acknowledge the Lord, we release the power of God to move on our behalf. What does the Bible say? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, in all your ways is not really a profound statement, but it's a very true statement. That even when things seem a little bit rough or a little bit distant, a little bit hard to get a handle on, it says, Job said it this way, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When it seems like I'm about to lose it, or when it seems like God's going against me, he says, I'm going to trust him anyway. When it seems like there's imminent death, to be absent from the body is present with God, it doesn't matter. I win either way. I'm not going to renege on God. That's a resolve. And so, it's God's kingdom. God has all power to do his will. He's deserving of all the glory in our lives. Let me just close with today. We'll do our best to try to finish this up next week. And if we don't, we'll finish the week after that. I don't care. It's good. But I do believe that God has really spoken some things to folks. It's along the lines of us coming into alignment with the will of God. When you pray, was what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, 6. When you pray, not if you pray. Acknowledge he's your Father. You want his will to be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. But somehow my mind is fixated on that one particular thought. And as we begin to close this service today, it's the vagus mentality that some of us have. And we push ourselves up to the tables of life and we grab these objects, as it were. And we know we're taking a gamble, but we do it anyway because sin motivates us to gamble with the most precious gift that God has given us, that's your life. You only get this one time. Amen. Some of us have made decisions that have destroyed or tremendously, shall I say, compromised the ability of us fulfilling God's plan for our lives because of foolishness. And you know the thing about it is, we knew better, but we did it anyway. That's what sin is. Knowing the right thing to do, but going against what God told you to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm through lecturing. I want to give you folks a chance to respond to Jesus. Let me speak prophetically in one particular sense. There's someone, or probably several people, who came through these doors this morning that had no idea that in talking about prayer, the confrontation of the Holy Spirit would be to this degree that would say to you, you know, today is a day to get it right. What does that mean by getting it right? It means by coming clean with God and emptying everything before him, saying, you know, Lord, I am not 10% wrong. I'm 100% wrong. Now, you don't say all the things that you did right that kind of balances things out, because God doesn't weigh on a scale like that. And so today I apply to the mercy of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God to come to your aid. Let me pray, and then I'll invite you to respond to him. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every other name, God, I just pray this morning for people that are in this service today that somehow, as we're talking about prayer, and about the opportunity that we have to come before you and to acknowledge the things in our life that need to be changed, I pray by the power of Jesus that conviction of the Spirit would come, not condemnation, but rather the opportunity for people to really come before Jesus and say, you know, Lord, up to this point, I haven't really acknowledged you. And I've relied upon my own physical flesh and things that are impulses that come upon me that I respond to. But today, it's got to change. While your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, someone very specifically is here today. And you're right at the crossroads of change. And the one thing that will hinder you from making that change is of who you think you are. That's totally contradictory to what you really truly need. If your pride is in the way between you acknowledging the fact that you need Jesus in your life, if I were you, I would give you some advice. Discard your pride, come to Jesus. If you had an image of yourself of, I don't know whether I could subscribe to all those things, of all these Christian fanatics, we're not talking about fanaticism, we're talking about loving Jesus, walking with Jesus, obeying Jesus, trusting him with your very, very life. All of us have an expiration date. You don't know when yours is, and neither do I know mine. But I will tell you this much. The power of the Spirit of God is here today to change your life forever. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you would just encourage people here today that would make that step, and other people who have strayed away from you, they would come to you. And then there's others, Lord, that come here with the need of just putting that alignment of their life just totally under submission to Christ. Of any of those categories, Lord, help us not to be too proud to respond. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, with every eye closed.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.